Wow. All I can say is wow. And you can come back and sing for us anytime you want. We're very fortunate to have the Korean church join us this morning for worship. And the only word I know is Kamsahamnida. And it's an important word, right? I was stationed in Korea for a year in the military, and I still have Korean friends after all of these years. So I love the Korean people. I love the Korean church here. They've been very, very good partners with us here today and the following couple of years that you've been here. So thank you. And Felix, I was there the first time you spoke in front of the conference meeting. And you might not have a lot of power, but you have a lot of influence. And for us, influence, the power of influence, is way more important than the power of coercion. So the fact that you have the kind of power you do is, I think, the power that God has. Because we believe here in this place that everyone, everything is connected to everything else. And that's the way we live our lives. And just a couple of things before I say more. I want to point out Nelda's wonderful art on the walls. She has been gone the whole summer. She put it up before she left, and she's here today. So if you want her, would you be willing to walk some people through if they want to? Because we've been looking at it all summer long, and then it'd be interesting if you want to know more about her art and the meaning behind it, just see Nelda. And can't help but point out Anne's banners. I know she didn't put her name. And I think the new word now is upcycling. I don't know. We're using things over and over again. I think that's the way that we need to go. I'm just going to spend a few minutes talking about the past. And then Janine is going to spend a few minutes talking about the future. It seemed like a good thing to do. We did not build this place ourselves. Others have come before us, others that we have not even known. This church has been here for 100 years, and all of those people who have come and gone through this church, how many sanctuaries would they fill if they were here today? And who says they're not here today? They are here in so many different ways. It is the way that life works. I was thinking about a passage from the book of Hebrews. And there the writer says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that we cannot see." And I think that's a nice reminder. And then it goes from there in chapter 11 to name some of the more important people in the Hebrew Bible who were seen as examples and models of faith and trust in God. And then in chapter 12 in Hebrews, it begins with these words: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that has been set before us." And I think that is a very nice reminder. I came to this church in 1985. It still seems fresh in my mind until I look in the mirror and realize that I have been here for 27 years, which is a little bit more than 25% of the life of this church. And I don't know who formed whom. I have put my stamp on this church, and you have put your stamp on me. And it is a symbiotic relationship. We are co-ministers together. I know Janine and I are technically co-pastors of the church, but we are in co-ministry together. One of the things that I think is important for us to remember are those people who sat right where you're sitting right now. I mean, can you imagine, you know, Linda? How many music directors have been here in this church over the years who've sat right there singing to God all of these years, and all the parishioners, and good years this place was full, and in tough years this place was almost empty. And it would get full and almost empty. And there's kind of a rhythm to it. There's a rhythm in the Bible of going down in death and coming up to new life. And that's what we've been. We've been an example of that over these years. And I think about all the people that are no longer with us that I came to know when I first came here. I have to tell you, when I first came here, I saw a lot of white hair. There's nothing wrong with white hair. I'm going to get white hair someday. But that means that we did a lot of funerals when I first came here. And most of you have come here in the past 20 years, let's say, 25 years. And you are sitting now where you are. And think in the future of somebody else sitting right where you are in that pew. Linda, you're not going to be there forever, right? I know. I'm not going to be here in the pulpit forever. Bill, you're not going to be here forever, are you? Well, maybe. You hope so. And Ray? Man, you know, I'm getting up there in a little years, and I appreciate the fact that getting old is not for sissies, and that's what my mother always used to say. But we look at ourselves. We look at this building. These buildings are manifestations of what God has been doing here in this place. Nothing lasts forever. We don't last forever. Buildings don't last forever. But there's one thing that Jesus said, and we learned that in our study of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus' message was very, very clear and very simple without much detail. He said that the kingdom of God is near. It is close. It is right next to you. It is right in you. And I believe that we are just as close to the kingdom of God today, right now, as they were back in the Old Testament times. That we look back, we think there's so much time between now and then than there is. But we are just as close to the kingdom of God right here in this time in our lives. We're it. We're the generation right now occupying the space and time. We're the generation where we're supposed to be embodying what the power of God is supposed to look like, and that is the creating, transforming power of God. That power that we come to worship every Sunday, that power that we see so effective in our lives, that power that has sustained this church for 100 years. 100 years. We did not build this alone, did we? People came before us. People will come after us. And our task is to simply entrust our lives and our sense of ministry into the hands of God, knowing that God can take whatever we have to offer and transform it into things that we can't even imagine. And so that's our past. That's gone. It's important. It's part of us, but it's gone. And our future is yet to be seen. And Janine is going to tell us what the future is going to look like, right? I want to know so I can invest in the stock market, yeah. Right? So Janine, please.
Alas, no crystal ball. And I'm thinking also about the theme that we chose for the centennial, becoming what we believe. And how odd is that for a centennial theme? Aren't we already what we believe? Well, yes and no, because one of the things we believe is that we are always in the process of becoming. We believe that no matter who or where we are, God is at work in us, quietly, faithfully, in ways that we may not notice, in ways often hidden from ourselves. God is at work in us in every moment, mysteriously and wondrously transforming us. If something like that is true in our lives individually, then it's true in the church as well. Right now, we're celebrating something wonderful, the start of our centennial year. It's time to look back, but it is even more a present moment, one filled with joy and satisfaction. But as wonderful as it is the transforming love of God that never pauses, never stops. And because that love is always present in us, we are always becoming. This year is about the past, the present, and the future. It's about those who are present here today, but also about those who are no longer here, who with their personalities and their commitments contributed to the identity of this church. Significantly, it is also about those who are not here yet, but are to come. The next visitor who walks in the door, the next generation that will take over responsibility for keeping this church going. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for the first followers of Jesus and if they hadn't become what they believed. They believed in what they call the good news, news so good it had to be shared. They had a vision of a new reality, not one based on power and might, but one based on transformation and rooted in justice and love. To realize their vision, they became the church, and it was a place for mutual support, education, where members could strengthen their faith, but also find the courage to put that faith into action. Church was the place where the faithful could become what they believed, where they were equipped to go out into the world and contribute to its transformation. The Christian church has always had these twin aspects. It's a place to turn inward, to realize the reality of God and God's constant presence in our lives. But it's also a place to turn outward, to manifest the divine reality of by following the ethics established by Jesus Christ and working for laws and institutions that promote services and the well-being of all, regardless of race, class, gender, sexual orientation, mental or physical abilities, or species. Along the way, different images of the church arose, and we've talked about some of them here. There was the idea of the church as a gym, the place where you went to show off how fit your faith was. And then there was the idea of the church as the hospital, the place where we go for treatment. But we've also talked here about a different image, the church as a garden that includes flowers in full bloom, in vibrant color, rich in beauty, expressing all the work of the last 100 years, now brought to glorious flower. But at the same time, the garden includes buds, the promise of beauty yet to come, the promise of God's creative, transforming power yet to unfold. I like it because it's an organic image. It's supple. We can see ourselves in the seeds nurtured by God, who only wants to see us grow and develop into the fullness of our being. We can see it in our children, and this is the place where we want to encourage them to flourish. We can see the church as the seeds and our little space as part of the garden of the world, where the things we plant and add to its beauty coax its barren places into green pastures. Like Rick said, it's an image of interconnectedness. One flower or one vegetable does not a garden make. A garden is full of diverse plants of different colors, shapes, and sizes. They bloom in different seasons. A garden requires that resources be shared, that there be enough sun and water for all, not just for some. As individuals, we've planted ourselves in the garden of this church. As a church, we've planted ourselves in Brea. As a church, we are planting our children in an environment that encourages them to develop the best that is within them. As a church, we are sowing seeds of hope, but also of practical opportunities for the transformation in such things that we see through the shelter program. So as a church, we are called inward to attend to our spiritual health and to support each other with wisdom and love. But we are also called outward to concrete acts of discipleship. And when we do, when we act, the promise is that we will indeed become what we believe. In this church, we talk a lot about the ongoing presence of God in each of us and in all of creation. We talk about what that requires of us in terms of ethical choices. And we understand God as creative and transformative power that oftentimes works with the wreckage of the world to realize a vision of wholeness and well-being. We understand ourselves as both culpable for that wreckage and necessary contributors to that well-being. There is this endless flow between God and the world, a back and forth exchange. God pours possibilities into the world. We respond however we do, and our experiences flow back into God, and God flows into the world, and the world flows into God, and from God's perfect capacity to feel everything, God shapes possibilities according to God's desire for the well-being of creation. When we care for the earth, we are making the beauty of the earth a possibility that God can share with others. When we act out of patience, kindness, and respect, rather than rage, rudeness, or contempt, we are contributing these things to the world in a pay-it-forward kind of way that God weaves creatively back into the world, offering in every moment renewal, redemption, and hope. As a church, we try to be intentional about adding some beauty and appreciation to the world, knowing that we offer these things to God too, and that God will use them to create possibilities for wholeness and healing. As a church, we believe that there is no in-group. There is only an omnipresent spirit, a spirit in which we all, without qualifications and conditions, live and move and have our being. As a church, we know we are much more effective when we work together than when we try to go at it alone. And the context of together goes beyond church and community to gender, class, sexual orientation, race, species, and creed. So as a church, does that make us special? No. Does it mean we've got it all figured out? Not by a long shot. But we try our best to be guided by an omnipresent God, a God who wills the well-being of all creation. And we try our best to be guided by principles that we discern in the ministry of Jesus: hospitality, justice, and transformation. There are two ancient symbols or customs in the church: the idea of ordination through the laying of hands, and the idea from Martin Luther of the priesthood of all believers. That is, we are all ministers by virtue of our belief. To ordain is to invest with ministerial authority. And if we take seriously the priesthood of all believers, then the founding of this church is also an ordination of its members. 100 years ago, the founders of this church established a ministry in Brea. Today, let us reaffirm that ministry through the ritual of joining hands. For in doing so, we acknowledge our connectedness, we acknowledge the presence of God in every one of us, and we affirm that the transforming power of God travels through us, not in one direction, but back and forth, crisscrossing, doubling back, moving forward, every which way. So would you please now stand and take someone's hand, reach across the aisle, reach behind you. Today, as a community of faith, we rededicate ourselves to the ministry of Jesus, to hospitality, justice, and creative transformation. We commit ourselves to becoming what we believe.
Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. The Bible affirms over and over again that to be with God is to be alive. To be with God is to be alive. It's hard for us to imagine what that might mean, except that we know it already. We are alive, and God is with us. Loving God, we sense that well of life coming up from so deep within us, and that depth is where we are connected one with the other. The true depths of your transforming power, working always to create new life out of all of our experiences of death. Loving God, we thank you for the privilege of embodying your word here in this place in our lives. For better or for worse, we are here in this place, planted here, growing here, trying to embody the ideals that you have set before us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for this church. We pray for a future where we will continually be open toward your moving voice that prompts us and prods us to do the right thing, the hard thing. We thank you for those who have gone before us who have done so many difficult things all along the way. We hardly even know them. It's hard to appreciate all that they have done for us to lead to this moment in our lives. And loving God, we do aspire to follow Jesus Christ, and that is the hard way, but is the way to life. Loving God, we pray for those among us who need our prayers, people who are hurting, people who are broken, people who are sick in our midst, people who we name silently in our hearts. We pray for Robin Durkee for healing. And loving God, we do pray for the United Church of Christ. We pray for the conference in which we live and work. We pray that by the time we get to the Synod next June, that there will be a drive and a passion for us to embody even more strongly your spirit within us. Loving God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, in his teachings, his life, his death, his resurrection, all very dramatic, quite surprising. And yet that same power is at work quietly in our own lives, not just as individuals, but in our life together here. We thank you for all of these things. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to invite Reverend Joe to come and say a couple of words and then lead us all in the Lord's Prayer. Please, sir.
Um, It is an honor to be able to be have service with you. I give you deeply congratulations on your 100th anniversary. May the Lord bless you for the next 100 years. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together.
하늘에 계신 우리 아버지여, 이름이 거룩히 여김을 받으시오며 나라의 마옵시며 뜻이 하늘에서 이루어진 것 같이 땅에서도 이루어지이다. 오늘날 우리에게 용할 양식을 주옵시고 우리가 우리에게 죄진 자를 사해 준 것 같이 우리의 죄를 사해 주옵시고 우리를 시험에 들지 말게 하옵시며 다만 악에서 구하옵소서. 되게 나라와 권세와 영광이 아버지께 영원히 있사옵나이다. 아멘.